I'm Robin.
And I'm Salo.
And we have just been having quite an interesting discussion on Halloween costumes, and I don't really know where to go from there, but sort of just the sexualization of them, the difference of occupational costumes for men and for women, and kind of, I guess, the gendered expectations held within Halloween and the costumes. But if we go back to sort of talking about the framework of, like, the gendered expectations of Halloween costumes, and whether this is a space for children, because you're thinking Halloween's, I mean, for me, like, you can celebrate Halloween whatever age, but I feel like it is quite heavily focused on kids, mm-hmm. on, like, children. I mean, like, the trick-or-treating, all of the sweets, all the candy. It's all, like, centered around children. And I read somewhere about how it's quite, people don't notice it until you point it out, the kind of, I think they worded it, infantilization of costumes with Halloween, and how there are childlike characteristics that are linked to this sexualization of costumes. Like, you have schoolgirl costumes, mm-hmm. you have, like, the pigtails and, like, freckles and stuff, which are all kind of childlike characteristics, and put into, like, this sexy and provocative nature around Halloween, which I thought was kind of, it's a very kind of creepy, disgusting notion, but you don't notice it until someone kind of points it out. When I was reading it, I was like, oh, that's so true. Like, I mean, I'll feel, like, grossed out.
I mean, I think that's the way that some of these institutionalized or systemic ways of thinking and valuing affect us, right, is that mm-hmm. they're so innocuous, we live them out, and mm-hmm. then when someone points it out to us that it could be a different way, we're like mind blown, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Because we're taught not to see clearly about these things and the ways that that we're just conditioned and socialized into doing the thing that breeds acceptance and, you know, breeds belonging in the world that we live in. One of the things that's interesting to me about the sort of notion of Halloween and that idea of playing dress up, you know, because as kids especially, it's one of the ways that we learn, you know, is to play and to play through dress up, or to learn and play through, you know, putting on these characters or putting on these ideas and wearing them. And Halloween is an opportunity to really kind of step into these other parts and pieces of ourselves. And it can be really empowering in some ways, right, to be able to dress up into something that we wouldn't necessarily feel is, you know, our everyday, this is who I want to be every day, but, you know, every once in a while, I'm going to, you know, put on my leather and lace or whatever, and, you know, head out, and it's going to be fun. Or, you know, I'm going to put on my big blow-up dinosaur costume and be that for the night, and it's going to be riotous. And so there is this really precious thing about allowance and the allowance that dress up can have, but it has to come without these sort of social expectations, right? And that's the, I think that's the loop, is that when they're bound up in all of these social expectations and ideas about what is quote unquote right or not right, or, you know, gendered pink or gendered blue, then we get into these problematics about how we're allowed to be boy ballerinas, or how we're allowed to be boy butterflies, or how we're allowed to be girl firefighters or Ghostbusters, or, you know, those superheroes with a mask on. So yeah, it's an interesting, you know, kind of thinking, and then, you know, the ways in which, you know, if I want to dress up as something that is not within that gender expectation, right? The pressure or the blowback, and especially if you're a little kid, you know, how do you learn to, you know, kind of stand up for yourself in the fact that you've decided to be a boy ballerina, for instance, for Halloween, right? Like that might cause some real ridicule with the bullies at school, right? And so, you know, do you say as a parent, well, no, little Johnny, you have to be a firefighter because, you know, or do you give them tools in order to, you know, be bold in who they are and who they want to be, and really, like, you know, support their stepping out into vulnerability? Because that's, you know, kind of what we're talking about is, you know, our comfort and level of vulnerability that we feel, and, you know, the society wanting us to be sexy nurses, it makes women, it places women in a vulnerable position because of the designation that is, but it's not vulnerable in terms of going against the expectation of that, right? That vulnerability is like, oh well, we're just sexual targets, so that's the vulnerability. Whether I'm a sexy nurse or whether I'm, you know, a sexy airline pilot, it's still the same thing, but the vulnerability is different, right? When I choose to conflict the gender norm or the standard.
And I think that's a big, like, point to, like, the choice part of it.
Yeah.
Like, if it was a choice, do whatever you want. Like, dress like the naughty nurse. But the thing is, like, that's the only option that there is out there. That's literally the only option. And, like, Rebecca, we were talking about, like, in the break, about, like, empowering or, like, sexualizing. And I think that's the big, like, difference too. Like, it would be empowering if we had, like, numerous options.
Yeah.
And we can, like, choose which nurse to be, in a way. It is sexualizing because the only option, and it's the name, and it's the, like, material, like, everything that is in between that. Like, you cannot empower someone if the only option they have is to be slutty or sexy. Like, that's the big problem. And I feel like, you were saying about, like, with the kids' costumes too. Like, even if the little John wants to, like, be a ballerina, if you go to a store and you see the ballerina costume, it's going to have, like, a little girl in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even if you want to be, like, you see the picture, you're like, oh, that's not me. Like, that is not meant to be for me because I don't look like that little girl. And I think that, like, surrounds, like, so many things, too. Like, if you go, like, even, like, gender, color, like, sexualizing, like, everything. Like, if you go to a store and you see, like, the blonde, tall woman with the nurse dress, you're like, oh, she doesn't look like me. So maybe the colors won't look good on me, or maybe, like, the costume is, like, not meant for my body type, or, like... So I feel like that's, like, the big part of, like, the pictures on the marketing, too. It's not only the name, but also the person you see wearing that costume when you go and buy it. Like, if you're a little kid and you go to a store and you see, like, oh, the costume you want to wear, like, the picture doesn't match how you look like, that's bad. And, like, when you're an adult and you go to a store and, like, you see that the picture doesn't match here, you're like, oh, this is not meant for me either. Like, there's no many options, and the only options you have are the ones that are, like, sexualizing you or infantilizing you. Do you think that's where like the difference between like empowering and like sexualizing is too?
It's so interesting looking at like you break down the Halloween costumes and there's so many aspects of reinforcing this narrative where you look at the name of the costume, the materials of the costume, how the costume's marketed, the shape of it. It all follows the same narrative. And what you were saying about it would be empowering if we could choose that from like options, from more options. I was reading this article. It was released back in 2023, back in Exeter. And it was a student that did like a poll on her, on, I don't know if it was on social media, but she did a poll. And it was saying about, do you find female Halloween costumes, like choosing to wear a sexy one, empowering or objectifying? And the majority said empowering. And I found that interesting because I wouldn't have thought that would have been the larger majority saying that, to be honest. And she spoke about how the empowerment comes with autonomy and how women choosing to wear a sexy costume is what it's giving them the empowerment. But then I didn't think of it from your perspective of, but what are they choosing it from?
Yeah.
If that's the only option, unless they're choosing it from making their own DIY costume, then where is the autonomy in that? Mm-hmm. And I've been really debating the subject of autonomy and objectivity just in my day-to-day thinking. just because I feel like it's come up quite a bit just around the studio talking about objectivity and autonomy. And I'm really starting to think, like, are we actually objective or autonomous? Are we actually ever choosing anything?
Yeah.
Or because of based of what is given to us as options, is it always really a choice? You feel like you're choosing, but actually there was only really one you could have picked. Type of idea. And I'm starting to see that, I guess, a bit more looking through, like, I guess through feminist issues or issues with a feminist framework of, do we feel like we're empowered and do we feel like we are making steps forward and making our own choices, or are we actually being almost guided into those like decisions? I don't know.
I feel it's like a lot of like guidance too. Like,
yeah,
I feel like it's like trends too. Like now the trend is to like connect to your feminine energy. Like that's what I see like everywhere, like social media, YouTube, and so it's like, oh, you have to connect with your feminine energy. You have to feel sexy on your own skin. You have to like do this and this and that. Like, I was watching, like, a video, like, this morning, but, like, a morning routine or whatever. It's like, oh, do you makeup before going to the gym? And I was like, what?
It's like, I'm going to sweat that.
Yeah, I was like, that's going to go into my pores. I don't want that. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But it has, like, that discourse of, like, oh, you, like, you feel so, like, empowering when you're wearing your makeup at the gym because you're feeling nice, you're looking nice, you're, like, you're looking good. You don't feel like people staring at you, like, being like, oh, she's so cold, sweaty. It's like, that. What's the point? Like, you go to the gym to be sweaty. Like, that's the whole point of going to the gym, not to like look like, oh, look at my eyelashes, look at my lip gloss, it's like so nice. And like, don't take me wrong, like I love doing my makeup and I love like doing that like every now and then, but that's like, at least for me, that's not what makes me feel like empowering.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like there's that pressure, like for you to like feel like that power, that like feminine like energy, you have to look a certain way too. It's like, we are saying that it's wrong to like sexualize and objectify like women in Halloween or like in daily life, but then we want to connect with like our feminine like energy, we do the exact same thing that's objectifying us from the beginning. So like it's not empowering if we are not like, if you're just following the same social norms because we want to connect with our like feminine energy and not because we want to, not because we choose to wear makeup today or because we chose to like wear this clothes today. Like, I feel like that's the big like difference, like the choice portion of it.
Yeah.
Because like even like you were saying, like, oh, where are we choosing from?
Yeah.
And you're saying like, oh yeah, I chose to wear makeup today. Like, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I chose to like wear this like sexy costume to you. Like, what was your option? Like, you know?
And this idea as well about, I've seen a lot of stuff as a part of like the new wave of feminism is reclaiming your sexuality mm-hmm. and kind of like choosing to objectify yourself wearing Halloween, like sexy Halloween costumes yeah. or I know a big topic of it is like female sex workers and reclaiming your sexuality that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggle to see how it is a form of empowerment when you are you say you're choosing to objectify yourself. Like you said, you're just mm-hmm. following the social norms. And for me, when I look at it, it's like you're still giving the man what they what they would want, which is to look at you like that. Look at like the attractiveness, look at the beauty, look at like your body in latex. Like I struggle to see how it's empowering just because you say you choose to do it
mm-hmm.
if it's still objectifying yourself.
And I feel like I mean, like, if you want to, if you feel like good on your skin, like doing it, that, that's like perfect.
Yeah.
But if it's the big boy, like, okay, like look at yourself and be like, okay, this is really like what I want to do. Like, am I really choosing this, or am I following like this social media trend that is like telling me this is the right way of like being connected with myself? Like, if you like do that, like all that introspective like analysis, and you're like, okay, yeah, like I choose this, I really like feel good on this. Like, then okay, go ahead and like live life, like be happy. But like, I feel like the big point is like look back at yourself and be like, okay, am I really choosing this? Am I really doing this because of myself and not because a social media post told me to do so?
Mm.
I feel like that's the big, like, big point, like, being able to, like, analyze yourself and being, like, is this who I am? Is this how I feel comfortable? Like, I don't know, like, when you wear, like, the tie, like, Halloween costume and go to a party, and, like, are you being yourself? Are you having fun? Or are you, like, tucking your tummy?
Mm.
Are you, like, worried, like,
and, like, breathing
yeah,
it,
are
like,
you, like, worried that your makeup is, like, not, like, smashed?
Yeah.
Like, if those are your worries during the party, you're not, like, comfortable. You're not being empowering. You're, like, being like so aware of how you look right now that you're not like paying attention to your fun and like what how you're feeling. So I think that's the big difference. Like, okay, like take a moment and be like, okay, do I feel like comfortable right now, or do I am I doing like things to like look good at every second of the night? Like
And like then there comes like the stress of like photos, and you want to be looking good in all the photos.
Yeah.
To think so then you're just waiting around like, is someone gonna take a photo?
Yeah, like posting online.
Yeah. Yeah, I find it just be like struggling to kind of understand where the empowerment is coming from when you objectify yourself.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that we objectify ourselves.
Mm.
We get objectified.
Yeah.
But we don't, I mean, we can choose that as one of the options, but I think there's a difference between what we do and what we wear and how we put ourselves together and take ourselves out in the world feeling like, yeah, I'm comfortable in my skin. I feel really good. I'm made up or I'm not made up. I'm wearing a short skirt or I'm wearing baggy pants, whatever that is. And, you know, someone is going to make a judgment regardless of how it is that we show up. And it's that judgment, right, that is the place of whether or not we get objectified or whether we So I think, you know, we can put ourselves in positions where, you know, we kind of want that attention,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there's times where, you know, you do want to look fancy. Mm. You do want everybody to look at you and, you know, think that you're the most gorgeous thing on the planet. But there's also times where it prohibits your ability to just let your hair down and be imperfectly human and just, you know, laugh so hard that you blow snot out your nose. Like, that's not something that's going to be very sexy nurse costume or, you know, like it's just, right? But we all want to laugh that hard also,
yeah.
You know? And so what allows us to be comfortable enough in our own skin that we can show up in the way that it doesn't matter what other people think. It lands on us, but it doesn't affect us per se. And I think there's a difference between, you know, and that's sort of what the choices are that mm-hmm. we're making, right? But that comes with age and experience. You know, like little kids, they don't know how to make those choices about what they show up in and what they don't show up in, and how to navigate those spaces. Heck, even as grown adults, we barely know how to navigate those spaces sometimes, right? And, you know, always, you know, am I showing too much arm, or, you know, is my shirt too low, and where am I going, and, you know, is this appropriate, should my hair be quite like this, yeah. or, you know, like mm-hmm. all of those little inner critic voices in our head. And I think especially when we get to choose how we dress up, mm-hmm. regardless if we're talking about Halloween or you know, dressing up for, you know, our best friend's wedding, or, you know, to go to the club, or to, you know, go to the gym, or, you know, any of those things, we're making an appearance in public space, and we're choosing a role kind of to show up with, right? Like, we play dress up all the time in yeah. all of the different guises, you know? How am I dressing up to be a student today?
Yeah.
You know? is it that I woke up half an hour ago and I just need to get some, I need to not wear my pajamas on the bus? Yeah. You know, is that my student look today? Or is my student look today, you know, glasses and briefcase and you know, all put together because I have a presentation to make for yeah. for my class, right? Like, we have these different guises in all of the ways that we live life, and Halloween allows us, I guess, in some ways to sort of amplify that. And it's unfortunate that what we get to amplify is, as we've been talking, you know, keeps us really in the frightening realities of the patriarchy and, mm-hmm. you know, this guise of choice that doesn't really exist in the ways that we may or may not think that they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thinking this, it's a very thoughtful way that you've put it. I'm just like, oh, wow. It's like, you've just blown my mind. but this is one thing that I love about, like, the topics like this and, like, my degree, is that there's always another way of looking at it, and it kind of, like, just, like, blows open, like, a door. And you're just like, whoa. There's
yeah.
a whole other way of looking at it, type of thing. But I do think that with Halloween, it's like you said, it kind of, I say, brings to light the kind of shocking realities of the patriarchy, like, again, in a kind of different way, and in a way that isn't as visible as, like, some would see, like, would think, because I hadn't particularly thought about whether Halloween costumes were objectifying or empowering until we were talking about what to do for intravenous, and I was mm-hmm. like, that's kind of like a topic that is, like, I probably would have thought of it at the back of my mind, but not kind of, like, deeply about, like, seeing Halloween costumes, and you see how they are for women and how sexualized they are. I've definitely noticed and just been like, okay, yeah, I'm not gonna pick that up and buy that mm-hmm. out of just, like, personal preference, but I've not, like, thought about kind of how it's reinforcing the patriarchy yeah. when you don't notice it. Unless you just kind of like, yeah, that's a bit too exposing for me. I'll find another costume somewhere else and then just leave it as that type of thing.
Yeah. And I feel like something like Robin said to, like caught my attention to, like you said, like, people are going to objectify if they want to objectify us in any way. Like, if you look sexy, I'm going to be like, oh my God, you look so sexy. If you look, like, more like a like funny cousin, like, oh, you're so innocent. It's like that, like, they would always find a way to, like, make you, like, to objectify you in a certain way.
Mm.
Like, if you have your, like, hair, like, loose, you're like, oh, you look so sexy with your hair like that. If you have a ponytail, oh, you look so innocent like that. So it's like, okay, wait, what do I do then?
I think as well, that can also look, like, with the childlike thing. Like, yeah. Even going to school, it's like, when I went to school, my hair was either in pigtails or a ponytail.
It's like, I'm barely awake.
Yeah, it was like, my mom was, like, scraping my hair back, like, got to get you out on time and you can't look like you've just woken up type of thing. So, like, that idea that, like, hair being put up in a ponytail or pigtails is more kid-like, and then you relate that to, oh, you look more innocent.
Yeah, it's like, ooh.
Same as, like, when you don't have makeup on, it's like, yeah. Oh, you look so, like, fresh-faced and, like, yeah. Innocent and young.
Yeah.
It's very... It's
like, that's creepy. That's a creepy comment. Yeah. Thank you.
It's always like, it's like, do I want to accept that compliment of, like, I look young? Like, young as in how young?
Yeah, yeah, like, give me an age, guy.
Yeah. Same as, like, when you wear, like, makeup and people are like, oh, you look so, like, sophisticated. And, like, I remember when I was younger, I was... I think it's like like most young kids are like, oh, I want to look older than what I am. And you put makeup on and someone's like, oh, you look 14 or something. And I'm like a 12 and I'm like, oh, that's great. And now it's like, I don't want to look older. I don't want to look younger. I just, can I look my age, please?
Don't look at me, please.
Just want to look my age. But yeah, I was also, there was like this one quick thing that I found quite interesting that I forgot to mention when we were talking about the sexualization of costumes specifically, and that it sends a message that sexiness is expected from women with this idea that Halloween costumes are, the female ones are just labeled as sexy and provocative, and giving this narrative that it's expected for women to dress up as sexy when they play dress up is what I was thinking about, and that you're internalizing that kind of message of like beauty and sexiness into like dress up, which is such a childlike notion.
Yeah.
I find, I was like, I just remembered I had that written down. I was like, oh, I forgot to mention it. I found that so interesting that it's this interplay of innocence and childlikeness with provocative and sexiness, yeah. Especially in Halloween, that I'm just...
And if it's special, like, be a little bit of both, but don't go to the extreme with either of those.
Mm.
I feel like that's the expectation, too. Like, be sexy, but don't be, like, super sexy. Okay, be innocent, but don't be, like, super innocent.
Yeah.
So it's, like, that's, like, that thing, too. I feel like it's interesting. Like, you can never get it right. Like, you're never going to get it right. Like,
yeah. You're never getting it right, yeah. Yeah. Well... We're coming up to the end. I'm just thinking we've got like a minute. But yeah. Thank you everyone for tuning into Intravenous today. Kind of a last minute put together discussion, but I think a very, very thoughtful one that we've had. Yeah. A very thoughtful discussion with some witchy songs and some Argentinian songs.
Yeah.
I'm like, am I right? Argentinian songs. Yeah. So tune in next week. I believe that's our fun drive episode, which will be very fun, and getting to hear lots of clips and compilations of some of the favorite Intravenous shows from this year. So we'll see you guys next week, and thank you, Sarlo, for joining.
Thank you so much.
My name's Katie. You want some cool new music to listen to? Want to know about up-and-coming artists, albums, and more? Well, come hang out with me every Tuesday from 12 to 1. Raccoon City's where I'll be. Hope to see you there.
On average, every 6 days, a woman in Canada is killed by her intimate partner. The women in our communities deserve to feel safe from both emotional and physical abuse. They deserve men who control their anger. Most importantly, they deserve to know the people they love most will never hurt them. Men like me stand up to create a safer world for the women in our lives, and we're looking to men like you. the men who make up our communities, to join us. You can play an active part to end violence. Visit www.whiteribbon.ca.